Hallelujah. How many sons and daughters of God we have in the house tonight? Amen. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. You have surely done all these things and even more. And we give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Well, just praise him. Just praise him. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. In this place tonight, we praise you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Yes, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, for this is not a time to draw back. This is not a time that some would say, well, it's time to make a change, so I'm going to make a change. No, this is a time to go forward and continue on in what God has told you to do. And do not get nervous and do not get anxious. For what God has told you to do, he has equipped you to do. And even though others might try to say, no, 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 that can't be. You know what God told you to do. And so don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. And I keep hearing this. Don't make a financial decision. Don't do something just because of finances. You make sure it's because of the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the provision of God is not determined. It's not determined. The provision of God's not determined by anything you do. It comes from the throne of God. It's by the glory, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in Christ Jesus. You be faithful. You be faithful. You be faithful. And you'll stand and you'll see that at this time, you'll know and you can say, only God could have done that. Only God is doing that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we will not be a slave to fear. We will not be in bondage to the doubts and the negativity of this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the light that shines in the darkness. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. Why don't you shake hands with two or three folks and tell them, I'm not changing, I'm going on. Amen. And you can be seated. Welcome, everybody. First Sunday night of 2018. In my office, I've already begun writing stuff on the 2019 calendar. And it's just, wow. Praise the Lord. But it'll be here if Jesus tarries. And we're going to be ready for it, doing what God... What are we going to be found doing when Jesus comes back? Be about his business, right? You say, well, what is it? Well, you better find out what his business is. I guarantee you this. If you want to be about God's business, start serving people somehow. Amen. Be about people. Because that's what God's about. God's been the people business. Amen. He created people. That's right. Amen. He sent his son to die for people. Amen. He's still saving people today. He's still delivering people today. He's still baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. He's still healing bodies today. He's still meeting people's needs. Amen. God is about people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. What would like, well, you know, there'd be no purpose to be here on earth if it wasn't people still here. We're citizens of heaven now. You know, we have every right to be walking the streets of glory right now. Every right to be there. We're children of God. But yet we have an assignment. We are ambassadors on this earth. with a divine assignment to minister in a what sometimes seems like a hostile land. Amen. God wants to make you an embassy to a group of people. He wants to make you a place of safety. Amen. A place of influence for Him in the area that you live and the people that you come in contact with. Say, well, who are you with? I'm with God. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to do something tonight here, if the Lord gives us time here, to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, talk about and look at some things from David's encounter. Well, David might call it an encounter. Goliath called it a loss of life. Depends on which side of this you're on, okay? But I want to start in verse 1. We're going to read it from the Message Bible tonight, just to read. Sometimes, you know, I think us preachers, I know I do, sometimes if you're not careful, you end up speaking from where you are instead of from where everybody else is. And I don't want to assume everybody knows the story. And so let's just read it. And the Message Bible is a good read and gets us to some things that I think are stated well. And there's a couple places I might bring out some other areas. But verse 1, the Philistines drew up their troops for battle. They deployed them at Socah in Judah and set up camp between Socah and Azekah in Ephes Damim. I'm not going to say it the other way. Holy cow, I didn't even read that ahead of time. Sorry about that. Saul. Amen. Saul and the Israelites came together, camped at Oak Valley, and spread out their troops in battle readiness for the Philistines. The Philistines were on one hill, the Israelites on the opposing hill, with the valley between them. A giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line into the open, Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. Spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. How many of you know that guy wasn't a small guy? If you care, if everything else weighs that much, how much did his shield weigh? And Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not a Philistine? Am I not Philistine enough for you? Are you all committed? And you are all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me." Now just stop a little background here. King Saul is a large man also. The Bible says from his shoulder upwards, he's taller than anyone else in Israel. In other words, the top of anyone else's head in Israel, the tallest, just comes up to his shoulder. He's that much taller than he was. I think Goliath's calling Saul out to battle. Send your champion out here. Notice what he says. He said, if he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight it out together. Now, this story here is a great parallel of what we're facing in the earth today. The devil knows he's got a short time. So he's sending his champions. Amen. His champions of political correctness. His champions of denial of the one true God. His champions are coming out. And they're giants. Amen. And he's given us a challenge. Now, verse 11 says, when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. I love this next phrase, enter David. Enter David. Whatever your name is, put it right there. Here's David right there. He can put his name in there. But when the devil shows his head up and he starts shouting, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this, enter Tad. Enter David. There's another David. How many Davids we got in the house tonight? Got a lot of you. Amen. Look at them. Amen. Enter. Enter Marvin. Enter Amanda, enter Leah. See, whoever you are tonight, God is ready to insert you into the battle. We're not going to stand aside. We're not going to be, listen, in this story, we're not going to let ourselves be the Israelites that shrank back and lost all hope. Enter David. David, think about this. David, the youngest of his family, so insignificant that when the prophet Samuel, God told him, go to Jesse's house in Bethlehem and anoint one of his sons to be the new king, because Saul had disobeyed God, that they didn't even call David in. He's out with the sheep. Remember that? They didn't even call him in. And David, and I mean, the first one came by, and he's here now. We're going to read about him in a minute. Eliab, he comes in, the firstborn. Oh, he looks good. Samuel the prophet, this has to be God's anointed. But no, it wasn't. And remember what God says just over in chapter 16. He says, don't forget, I don't look at people like you look at people. You look at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Right now, I don't care what's going on the outside, what's going on with you on the inside, on the outside, God's looking on the inside of you, what he's done in you and what he can do in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's tending to his father's business, as we said. By this time, he's already the armor bearer to Saul. But he'd left Saul, he would have to leave Saul to go home to take care of his father's sheep. See, he's the anointed musician who would play, and the evil spirits would leave Saul. But he'd have to go home every once in a while to take care of his father's sheep. David never forgot where he came from, and he was always loyal to take care of that business. Enter David. It says he was the son of Jesse, the Ephrathite, from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse, the father of 8 sons, was himself too old to join Saul's army. Jesse's 3 older sons had followed Saul to war. The names of the 3 sons who had joined up with Saul were Eliab, the firstborn, next Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest son. While his 3 oldest brothers went to war with Saul, David went back and forth from attending to Saul to tending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. Each morning and evening for 40 days, Goliath took his stand and made his speech. One day, Jesse told David, his son, take this sack of cracked wheat and these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers in the camp. And take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division. Check in on your brothers to see whether they're getting along all right, and let me know how they're doing. Saul and your brothers and all the Israelites in the war with the Philistines in the Oak Valley. So David was up at the crack of dawn, and having arranged for someone to tend to his flock, took the food and was on his way, just as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the army was moving into battle formation, shouting the war cry. Now you think about this. They'd been there for 40 days. They'd go out there and they'd shout the war cry, and then out would walk Goliath, give his challenge, and they'd all run back. Listen, there's no use shouting if you're not ready to do something. Amen. Every day they shouted. You know, a lot of folks think, well, if you just shout, everything's going to be all right. No, you better be able to back up the shout. Amen. They're shouting, but nothing's happening. So, it says that Israel and the Philistines moved into position, facing each other, battle ready. David left his bundles of food in the care of a sentry and ran to the troops who were deployed and greeted his brothers. While they were talking together, the Philistine champion, Goliath of Gath, stepped out from the front lines of the Philistines and gave his usual challenge. David heard him. The Israelites, to a man, fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. The talk among the troops was, have you ever seen anything like this? This man openly and defiantly challenging Israel? The man who kills the giant will have it made. The king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give his entire family a free ride. David, who was talking to the men standing around them, asked, what's in it for the man who kills that Philistine and gets rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honor? Who does he think he is anyway? This uncircumcised Philistine taunting the armies of God alive. What's that mean? This man's not in covenant with God. See, David was a covenant man. He understood his covenant with God, even as a young man here. Amen. They told him what everyone was saying about what the king would do for the man who killed the Philistine. Eliab, his older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and lost his temper. "What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending that scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat at a bloody battle." "What is that with you?" replied David. "All I did was ask a question." I like what the King James Bible says. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? Now see, David just didn't get a cause that day. He just didn't. David lived by a cause. Now, what do you mean by a cause? David had a reason for living. He had a passion for living. Everything he did, he was doing because of purpose in his life. He says, "Is there not a cause?" What was the cause? To honor God. This Philistine is dishonoring God. He's dishonoring God. And David said, now here's something else we can learn from the story. These are some things I wrote down. Your family may not recognize who you are in God's plan. Amen. Your family may not recognize who you are in God's plan. You know, in talking about ministerial ethics in the Bible school, we talk about this, that the world will not judge us by positional truth. Right? Well, you know, a lot of times your family, you know, if it happened to Jesus, how many of you know it can happen to you and I? Now here Eliab says, "Look, who are you?" This is his little brother now, okay? That's all he can see him as, his little brother. Well, it's not all, but that's all he did see him as, his little brother. And he said, "You know, you've just come up here. Basically, you little brat. Deliver the food, go home. This isn't for you." But David said, "There is a cause." Notice what David did. Verse 30, ignoring his brother. You're going to have to turn off the voices who are telling you you can't do it. I don't care even if they're related to you. Amen. Don't look at me like you don't have any family that's told you you're crazy. All of you that have moved here to be part of Rhema, I'll guarantee you, you've got family somewhere. Think they have lost their mind. You got to turn that off. You left what? You've got it made. You've got this. You've got that. But they don't know who you are in God's plan. And you are somebody in God's plan. I'm telling you that right now. God has a plan for you. And so David ignored his brother. He turned to someone else and asked the same question and got the same answer as before. Now, three times it relates that he heard what the reward would be. Three times he asked, what's going to happen to the one who kills that Philistine? To that one, he calls him a dog. To that dog who's dishonoring God. What's going to happen? And they told him, they rehearsed it to him. All right? Sometimes you've got to keep the prize in your thinking. It's like this. It's like what the Bible says in Hebrews 12, that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. See, the reward is the joy set before you. Amen. Now, for us, I realize there's temporal blessings here on earth. I realize that. But for us, it's well done, good and faithful servant, entering into the joy of the Lord. What's going to happen to those who faithfully do what God's called them to do on the earth? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Not just heaven, but entering into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's keep reading here. The things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. Saul sent for him. "Master," said David, "don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine." Saul answered David, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. You're going to have to deal with the you're too, whatever it is." He told him, "You're too young. You're too inexperienced." Probably, along with it, he's thinking, "And you're too small." You're not big enough. You see, what is it telling you, you're too whatever to do what God's called you to do? See, David had to deal with it. Here's Saul. Saul's the king. David is his armor bearer. And here's his armor bearer, the one who David's servant, telling him, even he's telling him, you're too this to do that. You can't do that because. Amen? That's right. When you're going to have to stand up and do what David did. David went back and said, look, here's what God's already done. You may not know this. Let me rehearse this for you. Here's what already has happened. Okay? David had already faced some you're too this or that. You don't chase after a lion that has just taken a sheep from your sheepfold. You're too slow. And you don't have enough teeth. Amen. Or a bear. But he'd already done that, see? He'd already faced that you're too. See, when life tells you you're too whatever to do that, and whatever it is, you're too old. Could be you're too old. You're too bald. Amen. Doesn't matter what it is. You're too slow. I've seen whole, especially in basketball, because I played more basketball and watched it more than anything. I've seen whole basketball teams of too short, too slow, too unskilled win game after game after game. Because they didn't believe all those things. They were too tenacious. Amen. And they were too invested in the process. To listen to you're too this to not perform at your best. Amen. Don't listen to the you're too statements. Now here, let's keep on reading. David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. Listen to this. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. What? Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who's taunting the troops of God. The living God is what the Bible says, but God alive, the message says here. Notice that. What's he saying? What's he saying? The same God that has brought me victory in the past is going to do it again. Amen. Amen. The same God. The same God. Hallelujah. The same God that's been there when I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. The same God that has brought me through to this day, he's going to get me through to tomorrow. He's going to get me through this one right now. The same God. Hallelujah. The same God. And notice, he said, this Philistine is no different. You say, well, I haven't faced anything this big. Listen to me. It's no different. The battles may get bigger, but it's no different. The same commitment and process, you see, that you went through, that got you victory, that got in a position of victory, will get you in the same position now. Now we're going to see some things here that David did, and I wonder if he did some of those same things before. Now look what happened here. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul said, go and God help you. Then look what Saul outfitted David as a soldier in armor. He put his bronze helmet on his head and belted his sword on him over the arm. Now remember we talked about how big Saul was? David tried to walk, but he could barely budge. David told Saul, I can't even move with all this stuff on me. I'm not used to this. And he took it all off. Now notice, he didn't use any of that stuff when he defeated the lion and the bear. Now, two things I want to say to you here. Number one, you don't need someone else's giftedness to fulfill God's plan for your life. You've already got more than enough from him. I don't need Saul's armor. Number two, you can't win victory with someone else's faith.
That's right.
David said, the King James says, I haven't proved these.
That's right.
He said, I don't have any faith in these tools.
That's right.
I've never used these before. Boy, he'd used that sling before. And he'd run before. But fighting with that armor, he'd never fought with that armor on before. Now Saul fought with it. And it was good for Saul. See, what might bring victory for someone else isn't what God's going to use to bring victory for you. So I'm not comparing myself. David didn't compare himself. Well, to win victory, then I got to dress like Saul. No. See, use what you have, what God's given you to win the victory. You don't have to be like anybody else in that sense. See, you can't win the battle with someone else's faith. And you don't need someone else's giftedness, the gifts God's given them, for you to win your battles. God's given you what you need.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. You know, what more do you need than the Holy Spirit anyway, working through you? Well, if I could just do this, you know, if I could just do that like so-and-so, if I could just know. See, David knew that in order to win this battle, he's going to have to do it with what God had already done through him before. He's going to do the same thing through me now. That doesn't mean you don't grow and you don't, you know, notice the battle keeps getting bigger. And you know, think about it. The loss of a lamb to a lion, now that's costly to a family, you know, that costs a family. But here, notice that what's on the line is a whole lot greater. This is an entire nation going under bondage to another nation here. But the lion and the bear had prepared him. Now, I've either got good news for you right now or I've got bad news for you. You probably haven't faced your greatest test yet. But you haven't won your greatest victory yet either. Because these things progress. They progress in life. Have you noticed that in life? Have you noticed those things? Yeah. Why? You're more dangerous now than you used to be. So your enemy's going to keep trying to bring bigger things. Now, if you notice Goliath here, we're going to notice him. He's no different. The devil, he's the devil in this story. He's no different than the devil today. I'm going to kill you. Okay. Look at this. Let's read what happened. David took it all off, took all that armor off. David took his shepherd's staff, selected 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's pack, and with his sling in his hand approached Goliath. As the Philistine paced back and forth, his shield bearer in front of him, he noticed David. He took one look down on him and sneered, a mere youngster, apple-cheeked and peach-fuzzed. Don't point at anybody. The Philistine ridiculed David. Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick? And he cursed him by his gods. Come on, said the Philistine. I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice. David answered, you come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God, the God of hosts, the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. That's why I can't imagine David chasing after that lion quietly. He's yelling the whole time, get back here, let go of that lamb, or I'm going to kill you. Well, evidently, if the lion would stop and turn on him, then he'd get a hold of it by the neck and kill it. I don't know who I heard say it. I've heard many people say it. Don't go into a faith battle with your mouth shut.
Right.
Speak the desired result.
Amen.
So, he said this, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God, and he's handing you to us on a platter. Your greatest enemy right now, God's about ready to serve it up to you on a platter. He's the same God. I mean, it's about ready to be served up to you on a platter. So why? So everyone can know there's a God.
Amen.
There's a God. There's a God in the church today. Amen.
Amen.
There's a God.
Amen.
And he's alive. Glory to God. Amen. And we know ultimately the devil is going to be served. We know that. But I'm talking along the way, there's lions and bears to kill.
That's right.
And there's sheep to rescue.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah. And God is looking for people. Enter David. And he's looking for people who are faithful, serving the sheep, using their talents for God, using their talents to bless others.
Yes.
For a mighty battle's coming. And he needs you to enter. Now think about this. David wasn't expecting to kill a giant when he carried that food to his brothers. He's supposed to bring a report back. But notice this about him. He was ready. He was ready. That roused the Philistine. And he started toward David. David took off from the front line, running toward the Philistine. David reached into his pocket for a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine hard in the forehead. Notice, David didn't run away. He ran right at him.
Amen.
The Philistine's running at him. David's running at the Philistine. He hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down in the dirt. That's how David beat the Philistine, with a sling and a stone. He hit him and killed him. No sword for David. See, none of that other armor. Then David ran up to the Philistine and stood over him, pulled the giant's sword from his sheath, finished the job by cutting off his head. When the Philistines saw that their great champion was dead, they scattered, running for their lives. The last thing I wrote down was, finish the job. Finish the job.
Amen.
When you ring the bear, skin him, make some clothes, and then eat him.
Amen.
When you kill the giant in your life, take his sword out and cut his head off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look at what David, he wouldn't let that head go. Let's keep reading here. The men of Israel and Judah were up on their feet shouting. See, here's the thing. You don't know what how your victory is going to inspire everyone else. They were up shouting. They chased the Philistines all the way to the outskirts of Gath and the gates of Ekron. Wounded Philistines were strewn along the road all the way to Gath and to Ekron. After chasing the Philistines, the Israelites came back and looted their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but the giant's weapons he placed in his own tent. When Saul saw David go out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, tell me about this young man's family. Abner said, for the life of me, king, I don't know. Now here, David's been his armor bearer, and he doesn't even know anything about him. See, Saul had lost his anointing, and he'd lost his care for people. As soon as the king said, find out his lineage of this raw youth. And as David came back from killing the Philistine, Abner brought him the Philistine's head, still in his hand, straight to Saul. He's still carrying that head around. Saul asked him, young man, whose son are you? He said, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, said David, the one who lives in Bethlehem. He told him his lineage there. Well, that begs this question. When it's all said and done, whose child are you? I'm the child of the Most High God. Amen. And that head was a token of his victory. I don't know if he had a bear head and a lion head somewhere else. We don't know. But he cut the head of that off. There's no way he's saying this. I've killed you. I've got victory. You're not getting back up. Just in case you think about getting, let me cut your head off. All right? And he carried that around with him. That head. I mean, he still had it when he went to see the king. Now remember, he'd taken all of Saul's armor and put it in his tent. He stripped him. Of everything that his enemy had trusted in, he took away from him. Put it in his tent. It's now his spoil. But he carried that head around with him. Now can you imagine? He's showing forth the victory for everyone to see. See, David never took any credit. He said, the battle belongs to God. Amen. So I don't know what you're going through. Every one of us there's battles all the time. If you're breathing, you've got battles. Amen. Why? Because we got an enemy. But I'm here to tell you, the same God that you read about there, the same God that's been moving and active in your life, that's brought you to victory in your life, is about ready to serve up whatever you're facing right now, is about ready to serve it up in front of you in a platter. Hallelujah. And he's just taking, reach out and take a hold of it and carry it around and just proclaim victory over it. Just proclaim victory over it. Just proclaim victory over it. Hallelujah. You cut its head off. Glory to God. Cut the head off. Amen. Cut the head off. Glory to God. Enter David. Doesn't matter if your family recognizes who you are in God. Answer your two questions with God's word. And the same God that brought you victory in the past will do it again. Don't worry about going into battle with someone else's weaponry or another person's faith. You've got what you need. And finish the job. Finish the job. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your mighty word. We thank you, Father God, that you are the God who's more than enough. Hallelujah. You're our covenant, the covenant that David had. We've got a better covenant established on better promises. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against our enemy, the devil. We wrestle against the Goliath of sickness. We wrestle against the Goliath of disease. We wrestle against the Goliath of poverty and lack. We wrestle against the Goliath of doubt and unbelief. But Jesus has already won for us the victory. And the same victory we have, he always causes us to triumph. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for the victories in the past. Thank you for the victories that we have coming. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now see, you know, to everyone else looking around, it probably looked like David was about ready to die. You guys can go ahead and come. David was about ready to die. But David had a different perspective. See, no one else can see things from the perspective you see it from. So when God talks to you, see it from that perspective, what God's told you. There's nothing wrong with confirming it with others, but remember, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for the victory tonight, in Jesus' name.